And for more analysis, we're bringing in our next guest of the hour. Thomas Phillipson is an economist at the University of Chicago. Thomas, thank you for joining us. We have stocks now heading toward a third straight week of losses amid Russia-Ukraine tensions and fresh sanctions on Russia's financial institutions now coming from the U.S. How much of a threat to U.S. equity markets does this geopolitical situation currently pose?
Well, I think, you know, peace through strength has been sort of what we've gone away from with Biden, obviously, relative to the Trump. And financial markets are obviously particularly interested in peace as opposed to this kind of uncertainty. And I think this is kind of a double whammy that's hitting markets now, because first, with explicit regulations, the Biden administration went after supply, energy supply in the U.S., obviously. But now, implicitly, with this tension coming on, we're reducing one of the top three, another energy supplier to the world, which is Russia. So I think, you know, explicit and implicit policies are sort of creating a double whammy here, which is why we're seeing the $100 a barrel coming into play today and probably go up potentially, depending on how this plays out.
And tying this into the monetary policy implications, are we at the point where the increased threat of a full-scale Russian invasion changes the calculus for how hawkish the Fed should be starting after its March meeting?
I think energy inflation, or price increases, I should say, rather than inflation for particular sectors, is one part of what's going on with overall inflation. But inflation is so broad-based that it's not sort of due to single industries. It's so broad that, you know, it's about 75% of industries now have more than the Fed target of 2% inflation. So it's a very broad inflation. That's not the key. The key driver of inflation is, you know, the Econ 101 of money supply going up and prices going up. If you have more supply of something, always prices go down in any market, and particularly when the price of money goes down, that's called inflation. So I think that's the overall driver of the broad inflation we see, and it's not sector-specific sort of supply issues. Obviously, energy prices are among the leading ones, but that's potentially due to policy as well. But I don't think we're going to see, you know, reduced inflation in other sectors than energy anytime soon.
And Thomas, speaking of the existing energy inflation that you mentioned, you said that the conflict is adding to existing energy inflation in ways that could have been mitigated with the different U.S. energy policy. How could the U.S. have perhaps anticipated this, and what kind of energy policy would have perhaps lessened the blow and the exposure?
I mean, we cut down U.S. energy supply day one in the Oval Office, right? So with the pipeline being stopped, and then we open up the Nord Stream for Russia. Now we're shutting it down potentially, or the Germans, and we are both working to shut it down with the war. So I think, you know, clearly world supply of energy would have been different if both of these things were not happening at the same time.
And it's interesting, because with each new negative development on Ukraine, we're seeing this market sell-off. Why isn't that priced in at this point, especially given how proportionate the risk posed to the U.S. economy by being exposed to this by this invasion and the possible sanctions retaliation? Is it a disproportionate response?
I think it's been escalating, and you've seen that the last 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen a couple of weeks ago. Now it's escalating with Russia declaring the two regions in Ukraine as independent, etc. I think it's this escalation of the tension is potentially why we see subsequent, you know, pricing adjustments coming down the pipe.
So additionally here, we got to talk about the Fed too, because that's the kind of intersection that we find ourselves at, where everything that's taking place internationally is also colliding with uncertainty about how fierce the Fed will be with its rate hikes that are anticipated to come, and whether that's in the quarter point, whether that's increasingly to be talked about in the half a point range as well. As of right now, you've got Bullard, Bowman, Bostic, all of them signaling at least potentially a half point. And so what are you going to be watching for as they are continuing to signal and be as transparent as possible, even prior to the next meeting where they will provide that decision?
I think that, I mean, people are, the hawkishness they're talking about is kind of mild relative to what's going on. We have 7% inflation, at least CPI. And, you know, rates are at most going to go up to 2 or something. So we have large negative real rates, no matter whether they go in 25 or 50 basis points or even a little bit further. The real issue is that, you know, the Fed is today actually pushing inflationary policy still. I mean, we're still waiting for anything. And this is now a year into the inflation. So they're very late in the game. And that's obviously something that economists have kind of argued for a very long time, that the government or the bureaucrats have a hard time keeping up with the economy. And they're well-intended actions, but many times the Fed is just too late when it's responding to anything. So they're responding. The Fed's name of the game is to respond with price controls in credit markets, but they time those price controls in credit markets very poorly often, and often very much lag the economy. And I think we're seeing that as a prime example of what's going on this year in 2022.
Certainly. And so with that in mind, Thomas, we now have both the White House looking at inflation as a result of some of the international concerns that they've been tracking, and them having to, and President Biden having to address that, in addition to what you just laid out and how late the Fed is to tackling inflation. And so when will citizens, American people, consumers, who will they feel a bigger impact from in their decision-making as of right now? Is it the Fed, or is it how the White House is going to try and quell any type of price at the pump inflation that we've already seen?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Congress, I think both the Senate and the House is sort of waking up to this now, and they're kind of putting constraints a little bit on the White House. So I think, you know, the fact that we had, you know, a fiscal response in itself, many economists do not think generates inflation, because you take money from some people and give it to other, and whether if that's tax funded today or in the future through debt, you're basically moving money around. The issue is that you basically monetize the debt, and what we're seeing today is sort of a prime vindication of, you know, Milton Friedman, as opposed to modern monetary theory, which says you can print money or increase the money supply without having inflation, which is the exact opposite of what Milton Friedman argued, essentially. So I think we're seeing that today. We have massive money supply increase, and we have massive inflation. I don't think it's a huge mystery what's going on. And I think Congress is kind of putting the brake on the White House in that respect.